This is John Martinka. Welcome to a synopsis of chapter one of my book, Buying a Business That Makes You Rich, Toss Your Job, Not the Dice, second edition. So this is the first book I wrote, and I have updated it. And before I get to chapter one, let me talk a little bit about what is in the preface. So a couple key points. Who is this book for? Well, it's primarily for the individual business buyer, the manager or executive leaving the corporate world because they want their own business. And a key point, every time I say buying a business, always put in the adjectives mature, profitable, and fairly priced in front of the word business. Now, we do a lot of things in our life that one would consider a leap of faith. And when it comes into this subject, well, changing jobs is a big leap of faith. Taking a job when you've been downsized and it could happen again is a leap of faith. Buying a business is a leap of faith. But when you do your proper homework and you have a good guide, you pay attention to the details, you will make that leap of faith off a chair, not the roof. So in chapter one, I start out with the question, why buy a business? And the answers are from audiences that I have asked this question of hundreds of times. And the most common answers are control. To get the benefits of my smart and hard work, not to shareholders. Independence, decision authority, flexibility, the income potential, as well as the equity or net worth increase. To be able to use my creativity and obviously be the boss. But I like to think that the most important reason is to have fun. And it rarely gets mentioned. 1, maybe 2% at a time. To wake up in the morning with a smile on your face because it is your business. And that doesn't mean it doesn't have issues. Every business has issues. But you get to do all those other things like be creative and control and make the decisions on how to handle those issues. So should you own your own business? That's a big question. You've got to ask yourself that. You might talk about people leaving the corporate world. There's a diagram on page 12 of the hard copy of a prison with an escape plan and someone raising their arms as they escape the prison. And in one of my newsletters, I wrote it right after being in New York, and taking a picture of all the high rises while I was looking up Madison Avenue. And those offices are prisons to a lot of people. And it really comes as my first story in the book. My real life story is about a client, Craig. Craig had been let go from Honeywell and he was frustrated and he was angry. And we were having lunch. It was our second or third meeting. His wife and him and me, and he was hesitant on what to do. And she looked at him and said, you've been talking about this. Why don't you just do it? And he wrote me a check to start working with me. He then shared that for the last 7 years, he's been thinking about owning his own business. And Honeywell just pushed him in the right direction. So self-employment, though, owning a business, buying a business is not for everybody. And I like to say that on one end of the spectrum are serial entrepreneurs. They would never read this book. They would never talk to anyone in career counseling or anything to do with something other than starting another business. I've met many of them in their mid-30s who are saying, well, I'm going on my 7th or 8th business. That's what they do. On the other end of the spectrum are people like my mother. I love my mother. She was great. But she couldn't imagine anything riskier than a government paycheck from the school that she worked for. She was a college-level math teacher. And in the middle are people that get forced into this or stumble into this, or as many clients have told me, I let the corporate world train me with skills and build my capital because I knew I always wanted my own business. But I'm not the kind who would think of what to start. So serial entrepreneurs, my mom on the other end, and the rest of us are in the middle. And here's another story from the book. One of my clients, many years ago, he was 45 years old, and I met him through his outplacement agency, and we were actually sitting in that office, and he said, they just told me I'm going to do 4 or 5 more job searches before I'm done working. And he said, no, I'm not. I'm going to get my own business. And he did. So besides buying a business, there are other ways you can get into business. You can start one. You can get a franchise. Starting one also includes doing advisory work, which is really, as I know, since I'm in that field, is a marketing business. Too many people think I'm going to be a consultant. You just go and consult. No, you market your rear end off to get customers, clients. So if you're going to start one, you've got to have some kind of creative idea. And we're talking non-tech startups here. We're talking people who are going to do something. Many of them, you hear the stories that started in my garage or my basement. Not much money to put into it, but have time and energy. Especially if they have a spouse that works and provides income, they can put that sweat equity into the business. For a franchise, it's often, more often than not, they don't have the management skills to take over an existing business. For many, many years, I have said, franchisees need help handholding and hugs. And when we started Partner on Call Network as a franchise in 2005, and we got franchisees, I realized they truly do need help handholding and hugs. And that brings us to buying a business. And what does it take to buy a business? Well, first of all, it takes some money. You are trading your capital for cash flow, immediate cash flow. You close on the deal at the end of the month, and on the 15th, it's payday, and you get a paycheck just like everyone else. At the end of the month, when it's time to make your debt payments, you have profits from the business to make those payments. Financing is a lot easier than on a startup, that's for sure. But in skill-wise, I like to say a buyer needs, to some varying degree, say on a 1 to 10 scale, not everyone's going to be a 10, to be able to manage people, processes, money, and enthusiasm. Now back to money. How much do you need? You should figure the level that I work with my clients. You're going to need at least 2, maybe 3 times your fair market salary or the fair market salary of the job of running the company is more appropriate out of your pocket. So if you said, I'm used to making $175,000 in salary, and the fair market salary for running the company I'm buying is in that range, $150,000 to $200,000, you're going to need $350,000 to $500,000 to put in as your share of the down payment. Now, buyers, always be thinking about what you want to do on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And I'll tell you what the answer should be. It should be something like growing the company, strategy, vision, things like that. It should not be, I want to make sales calls all day, or I want to work on the shop floor, making it more functional. Yeah, you can do that, but it better not be all you do. But think about what you really want. And we'll talk about more of that in other chapters. But it's got to be realistic. And there's a 3-legged stool diagram. And that I saw this in a book 15, 20 years ago. And each leg of a stool, one has something as far as operating a business. Operations, finance and admin, sales and marketing. You've got to be able to know those things. How they work. Who does them? You don't have to do them all. And it reminds me of one of my clients, Ted, who said, when I got into this business, I was overwhelmed. He had come out of the corporate world where there was a layer of bureaucracy for everything. And he said, I don't have to do all these things, but I have to know if something is going off or is broken, what it takes to fix it, who does it, how long it should take, what it looks like when it's done. I never had to do that in the corporate world. So let me talk as I wrap up this chapter about a story that's in there. It's one of the longest stories in the book, and I'll make it fairly short. Quite a number of years ago, I ran into a business owner who wanted to sell his company. This is the classic case of buyer fever. He was a CPA. He thought it would be sexy to make something. So he bought a cabinet manufacturing business, a cabinet shop. And he really wanted to get out, and he wanted to get out and recruit what he had put into it. So what are the things that went wrong? Well, he absolutely positively could not relate to the employees. I don't think he could if he tried his hardest. One of the lines he said to me, and I wrote it down at the time, was that most of his employees live for the next break when they can have a cigarette or get off of work and have a beer. And he's putting his heart and soul into this, and he did not understand why they didn't have the same enthusiasm. Now, part of it probably came from his leadership. Remember, he was a CPA in a blue-collar environment. Skilled labor, but still a different environment. Then comes the fact that he said the previous owner, he suspected, had cooked the books by fudging the figures on inventory to make the cash flow the year prior to the sale 50% greater than that of the four previous years. And I write in the book, for some reason, and buyer fever again comes to mind, he bought into the explanation that the prior year was the only year to use for valuation purposes. And again, did I mention he is a CPA? And sometimes it's like the cobbler and their kids without shoes. The things we're closest to are what trip us up. How could a CPA miss an inventory adjustment? How could a CPA fall for the sales pitch of using only the last and best year to value the company? Again, buyer fever. Now, I mentioned before, you know, people, processes, money, and enthusiasm. And, you know, enthusiasm and people are the same. So you have to think about how good are you at managing people. Yeah, because it really, as one of my clients said to a seller who would not let him or did not want to let him talk to the key employees prior to closing, he looked him in the eye and said, "You may think I'm buying your company. I'm really buying your people." Now, chapter one finishes with a little bit about growth by acquisition, but I'm not going to spend too much time on that since I have a book on that, Company Growth by Acquisition Makes Dollars and Sense, S-E-N-S-E. So I'm going to finish with a story about a gentleman I met my first year in working in this field. And what he said to me, and again, I wrote it down verbatim. He said, "I'm going to turn 50 in 3 months, and I know what my company does to people when they turn 50. He said, "They will replace me with somebody half my age and one-third my salary." He later elaborated that his replacement would also have about 10% of his productivity. That is a very good reason for people to think about buying a business. So, John Martinka, Chapter one synopsis of buying a business that makes you rich, toss your job, not the dice, and it is available at Amazon.com.